For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A Wednesday, and that means it's the chance to always visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And it comes to you after a game in which a little history was made concerning the Cardinals' offense as they were banging out home runs and Brad Miller's driving in seven. They set the all-time record in runs scored at the Great American Ballpark. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. As always, Brian, good morning to you. How are things?
Hey, great, Dan. It's a lot more fun to talk about a team that scores 16 runs and is, you know, strung together a little bit of winning streak after, you know, that stretch of losing four. I'll tell you, I think Jim Edmonds may have mentioned it on the telecast last night, but I think that performance by Adam Wainwright, you know, to close the series when the team had lost four in a row and were reeling, I think was just huge to, you know, get the team kind of back on the rails. And, you know, once they've got the Great American Ballpark, you know, they're scoring runs.
Yeah, it was actually something I mentioned. I said, you know, the performance by Wainwright was not only just on an individual basis remarkable, but it just seemed like it got the team back on track. And I hate using the term a wake-up call, but it was in a way, wasn't it? I mean, it just got everything back, set back in motion and saying, hey, we got a month to go. Let's just give it our best shot. But we got to play the string out. We got to play. So let's go. Let's do it.
And there was some talk about mental fatigue. And, you know, Mike Schill was very careful every time to say, listen, this isn't an excuse. You know, we got to go out and execute and play the games. But, you know, they really needed a lift. And, you know, Wainwright gave him the lift. And there are people, I had some folks, you know, I talked to who were worried about him having thrown 122 pitches. Well, Adam Wainwright's a horse, and he needed to do what he needed to do to help his team win. And I thought it was just a tremendous, tremendous performance by the veteran leader of the team.
By the way, where does that one rank for you in terms of some of the great performances you've seen him, whether it be, you know, closing out a World Series or the Beltran strikeout, 23 complete games? He's had some memorable ones, but I don't know, man. That one's going to rank out is one of the top performances I've ever seen him have. It just I just thought it was just an incredible performance by him.
Well, and it was the second one in a row. I mean, you think about the performance that he, you know, gave him, you know, coming off the break, where he, you know, really set the tone for a team that, you know, didn't let the COVID thing get them down. So, you know, it's not the first time that Wainwright has done that this year for the team. And I again, you know, it's not anything that, you know, you're going to necessarily see when you read the stats lines 2-3 years from now. But, you know, there's been a couple cases here where he's really set the tone for the Cardinals. And, you know, it's just great to see.
Let's get into some of the news of this past week. Okay, the trade deadline has come and gone. The Cardinals stood pat. There were some moves across baseball. Obviously, the Padres were busy. But just your general thoughts on the trade deadline. What do you think?
Well, overall, you know, we didn't see any impact hitters really move. We saw some, you know, role-playing type hitters. I mean, the main players that moved were pitchers. But really, you know, like so many other trade deadlines, you know, so many more names were discussed than actually moved. And, you know, in the case of the Cardinals, John Mozeliak came in and met with us in the media after the deadline had passed. And he was quite candid about it. He said, listen, we had a lower volume of conversations this year. It's usually much more hectic. But other teams knew that the Cardinals weren't selling. And so it was pretty quiet for him. But he also talked a little bit about next year. I thought it was interesting. He was asked, hey, well, you know, maybe if you're not going to acquire rental guys, you know, acquire guys maybe that have one more year left in their contract. And he said, there's a lot of questions about what we will look like next year from the financial model perspective. Now, what that meant to me as I read that is, hey, we got to decide if Wainwright and Yadi are coming back, because if they're coming back, they're going to take a chunk of payroll. The other thing that he said that I thought was really interesting was he talked about the outfield situation and said that you know, not surprisingly, what they'd seen so far, except for Dexter, was disappointing. You know, hadn't met their expectations. But they want to use the rest of the season to see if they can find somebody to get hot and answer the question for them if they have to go external in the off season. So this is the first time that Mo said, listen, if these guys don't come through, and I'm talking about the O'Neills and the Baders and the Thomases, and, you know, if they don't come through, then the Cardinals are prepared, it sounds like, to look for someone in the trade market like they did with Marcell Ozuna 3 years ago.
Do you think the financial model, though, also some of that question has to be whether or not there's fans in the stands, and that's got to be across the board, too?
Well, sure. There's no doubt. I mean, we know there's not going to be any stands, you know, people in the stands in 2020. I think they've got to assume, though, that they're going to be in the stands in 2021, because the problem, Dan, is going to be that the free agent market will open up right after the World Series. And, you know, maybe the Cardinals will know a little better in, you know, two-ish months from now if they're going to have fans, but they may have to gamble like every other team in baseball. You know, is there some type of medicine that will allow people to be more comfortable to go out in large groups? We may not know that. They're going to have to take some risk.
So Brian Walton is my guest, thecardinalnation.com. A great website if you love the minor leagues, you love St. Louis Cardinal baseball, baseball in general, thecardinalnation.com. He's with me every Wednesday. You mentioned the outfield depth. I want to go into Dylan Carlson. What are your impressions of the outfield depth in general? You touched upon it, but also what you've seen out of Dylan. Just what have you thought of him?
Well, as I said last week, I think I've been most impressed by his even keel, by his approach. You know, he's not let it get frustrating. It's clear that in some cases, you know, he's looking for pitches and he sees something else. And he, you know, either takes a fastball down the middle or he swings at a breaking pitch as he hit it. And, you know, we haven't seen that frustration boil over yet at all. You know, he did sit last night, and, you know, we'll just have to see at, you know, how long the Cardinals are going to continue to play him pretty much every day. Lane Thomas is back, and, you know, he's a guy that they haven't got a chance to get a look at. Mike Schilt told us initially that while he's a guy that, you know, could start definitely, that more than likely he's going to be a guy off the bench. Now, he did come off the bench on Tuesday he actually got a start. So, you know, we'll have to see where Lane Thomas fits in the playing time in the outfield. But the other thing that I think is interesting, and folks have already seen this, you know, Tommy Edman had played, I think, in five different positions in 6 days or something like that. But temporarily, at least, he is the left fielder on his team, and that's not necessarily an ideal configuration, especially if you're trying to sort through these outfielders. But Brad Miller has hit so well. I mean, he's the cleanup hitter now, and, you know, defensively, it's pretty clear his position is designated hitter. And, you know, as long as Matt Carpenter's playing every day, that means Tommy Edman doesn't have a place to play in the infield. He's bat in the lineup, and he's got to be in the outfield. And the other thing by Brad Miller being the designated hitter, it closes off the designated hitter at bats for those outfielders. So Tyler O'Neill, you know, he's not going to get a look at designated hitter because Brad Miller looks pretty much to be your everyday designated hitter right now for good reason.
Also with the trade deadline, I want to go back to the roster. They had to get creative with the 40-man in terms of what they wanted to do, didn't they?
Yeah, the Cardinals, I mean, you know, hey, they had 10 guys affected with COVID at once. And so, you know, they had to move guys from the player pool who weren't on the 40-man onto the 40-man. And the good news is Major League Baseball basically allowed deferrals. They allowed teams to go over their 40-man limit by whatever number of COVID cases they have. The downside of that is when the COVID cases are ready, guys have to go right back off the roster. And the guys who go back off the roster could get claimed by another organization off waivers. Now, they could be traded, but, you know, that's difficult to do. Or they could be released. So what's happening now, right now, of those 10 COVID players, six of them are back. With four still to go, Carlos Martinez, Cody Whitley, Ronel Ravelo, and Austin Dean. When those four guys are ready, then four other players have to come off the 40-man roster. And we're talking about guys like Meisinger and Roel Ramirez and Chris Matt, maybe Kaminsky, maybe even Nagowski. Don't know. But, you know, some of those guys that the Cardinals would like to keep around to contribute, but they can't do it. So John Mozeliak, you know, mentioned, he was very honest. He said, hey, the pitching depth is scary, you know, given how this schedule is going and, you know, given that some of these guys are going to have to come off the roster.
Did you like the idea of Carlos going back in the rotation, or did you want to see immediate innings out of Carlos Martinez, which they could have done right away?
It's hard for me to believe that Carlos Martinez is not one of the best six starting pitchers in the St. Louis Cardinals system.
Right.
And yeah, it takes some more time for him to go down and work up to be starting, you know, to start. But let's face it, we see the schedule coming. There's seven more doubleheaders. You know, I just think the right thing to do was to have Carlos Martinez start. Now, you know, maybe I'll change my mind if he gets bombed, but the reality is if Carlos Martinez is healthy and he's on, you know, he's going to be a much more valuable and important asset to the team as a starter. You know, we've seen Gallegos come back and look very, very good, you know, out of the bullpen. Now Ryan Helsley's back. You know, they're going to have some options late in the game, but, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that can start as well as Carlos Martinez when he's on.
Anybody that's been listening to me from day one of spring training, they know I'm a fan of Johan Oviedo. He'll go tonight. He has not disappointed me one bit, Brian. How about you?
Yeah, it's been great to see. And, you know, I think the big question about Johan Oviedo, at least from my perspective all along, is, you know, the guy hadn't, you know, really pitched above double A. And so, you know, it's a big jump for a guy to go there straight to the major leagues. But the 2020, has created some unique opportunities. And he wasn't the first guy they chose. You know, they waited a while until they finally decided to pull the trigger. But that also gave him more opportunity to build up his pitch count in Springfield. And obviously they liked what they saw. And, you know, he's so far has had two very strong five-inning outings. And I'm sure if the Cardinals get another one from him tonight, they're going to be very, very happy.
There's some news concerning the upcoming 2021 draft. So it's about a year away, but there is some news concerning that draft.
That's right. Baseball America was the first one to report that it appears that the draft is going to be moved from its typical early June date to the second week in July. And that would correspond with the All-Star game and would give the draft potentially a higher profile, as well as not conflicting with college baseball. You know, typically the draft has been right around or during either the Super Regionals or the College World Series itself, and it's really distracting for those teams that are still playing baseball, you know, pursuing national championship when the players are wondering, hey, you know, am I going to get drafted today? Am I going to get drafted tomorrow? So the other fact that will allow baseball to probably move it to July is that in the past, teams were motivated to get these players signed quickly and get them playing on short season teams. And here in the Cardinal system, we're talking about State College, Johnson City, and those teams aren't going to exist in all likelihood in 2021. So there's less of a hurry to take the players who were drafted that year and put them right into professional action. The other thing that they've talked about in the draft is that it will probably be 20 rounds. It could be as much as 30. But it won't be, you know, down to the minimal five like they had this year. So it'll be a more reasonable, probably a 20-round draft in the second week of July of 2021.
And I'll wrap it up with this. What are you working on right now at thecardinalnation.com?
Hey, we are trying to keep up with all the roster changes and all the implications of that. But if folks come, they can not only read recaps and links to box scores of all the St. Louis Cardinals games going on, but you can also read about all these various roster changes. And we're still continuing with our series on where are they now, former Cardinals. We're looking at past drafts, and we're also looking at minor league history. So there's plenty of other things to read about when you come to the Cardinal Nation as well.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Brian.
Take care, Dan.
That's Brian Walton, every Wednesday.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.